from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulfido, and we begin in Long Beach, where despite protests and passionate pleas from students, the Cal State Board of Trustees voted yesterday to raise tuition for the first time in several years.
The tuition increase proposal for the 2017-18 academic year is approved as amended.
The California Report's education reporter Anna Tentakulis has the details on why it's so unpopular with some students.
The 5% hike will raise tuition to nearly $5,500 a year. That's an additional $270. That may not seem like a lot, but middle-class students say that could plunge them further into debt or price them out of college. Middle-class families don't qualify for generous financial aid packages, yet they also don't have enough money to pay for tuition, books, and housing. Roughly 170,000 middle-class students will be impacted. That's about 40% of the system's undergraduate population. The state's budget is not finalized yet, so CSU campuses might receive enough funding to avoid the tuition hike. CSU Chancellor Timothy White says additional revenue is needed to meet growing demand. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
Let's move now to Sacramento. Days after approving a $3 billion parks bond, state lawmakers are now closer to passing another $3 billion bond for affordable housing. From KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Katie Orr reports.
The $3 billion bond made it through the Senate Governance and Finance Committee with little opposition. If ultimately approved by the full legislature, voters would see the measure on the November 2018 ballot. Tyrone Buckley is with Housing California, which supports the bond. He says it will benefit the entire state.
This begins with addressing the geographic equity issue, making sure that all jurisdictions of the state get a chunk of this funding to address their affordable housing crisis.
Buckley says since 2008, California has lost 66% of its state and federal funding for below-market rate housing. A $3 billion bond would help, but the nonpartisan legislative analyst office says it would cost nearly 100 times that much to meet the current demand for affordable housing. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Now, affordable housing is the top concern of about 4% of Californians. That's according to a new poll from the Public Policy Institute of California. The poll also shows what most Californians think of President Donald Trump's job performance. Want to take a guess? Here's KQED's senior editor for politics and government, Scott Schaefer.
President Trump continues to be a tough sell for Californians. His signature issues, building a wall along the Mexican border, cracking down on undocumented immigrants, and imposing a travel ban against people from mostly Muslim countries, all three get a big thumbs down from vast majorities of voters. And that's not all, says survey director Mark Baldessari.
The things that he has to say about national security, about crime, about immigration, just not consistent with how, for a long period of time now, Californians are feeling about life in this state.
On the other hand, Californians seem to like where the state is heading, with Governor Jerry Brown getting approval from 62% of voters, while just under half like the job the state legislature's doing. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Let's stay with that PPIC poll because it shows just a quarter of Californians approve of the proposed border wall with Mexico. But that wall appears to be a lot more popular with the hundreds of California vendors looking to help build it. Here's KQED's Tara Seiler.
You might think the companies interested in building a border wall would be mostly construction contractors, but you'd be wrong.
We do artificial intelligence software, and we essentially look for patterns, our software does, in massive amounts of data.
Liz Durr is co-founder of Simularity, a small East Bay business. She says their software can analyze all kinds of data, like imagery from satellites and drones. She brings up a video on her laptop to show me how their software could be useful along the border.
In minutes, it learned what the normal vibrations were, and without connectivity to any hub, cloud, or network.
Our technology can tell the difference between a four-legged coyote and a two-legged coyote that is, you know, smuggling people.
Durr says if the federal government is really going to build a wall, it should be smart about it and build a virtual one.
It's our taxpayer dollars, and it's ridiculous in my mind to go build this giant wall for billions of dollars when we can do something better for much less money.
But there are plenty of other companies interested in building a giant concrete wall.
My wall design actually goes underneath the ground, so you can't dig under it.
James Flanagan says his precast concrete slabs could be put up by crane along the border. He runs J.K. Flanagan, a small structural construction company based in San Francisco. He's a strong Trump supporter, critical of what he calls lax immigration enforcement. He says he wants to be involved in building the wall to be part of history.
So 10, 20 years down the road, you can say, hey, you know, I was a part of that. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Flanagan is hoping one of the big construction companies that have a better chance of landing a contract for the wall will sub a little piece out to him. He's among more than 700 vendors vying to win some part of this massive project, which could cost more than $20 billion. They've all signed up on the Federal Business Opportunities website. That's where companies go in search of government contracts.
I've been doing this for 30 years, and this is a very long list.
Carolyn Shear lives near Oakland, and she helps companies write proposals for federal contracts. She signed up on the website, even though she says she doesn't approve of Trump's wall.
If he's serious and if he's actually going to try and build this thing, that's going to be an immense amount of work, and you sort of have to be an idiot not to at least put yourself on the list.
And if they make the first cut, they'll have to work fast. Proposals are due by next Wednesday. Those selected will then have to build mock-up walls in San Diego. For the California Report, I'm Tara Seiler.
We begin in Fresno, where two teenagers are accusing a Border Patrol agent of sexually assaulting them while in custody. KQED's Julie Small reports the ACLU of California is seeking damages from U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Two sisters, aged 17 and 19, from Guatemala, were arrested by Border Patrol agents in July last year. Clarita, the older sister, says an agent at a field office in Texas forced her to undress and touched her genitals, then did the same to her sister.
No somos animales para que nos traten de esta manera. Mucho menos a una niña que no se puede.
She says we're not animals to be treated this way, especially a child. Mitra Abdullahi is with the ACLU of San Diego.
This case is unfortunately representative of a pattern within Customs and Border Protection of significant abuse of children.
She says the ACLU has been reporting these types of allegations for years to no avail. Customs and Border Protection officials would not comment on the claims, but in a written statement said, quote, "We do not tolerate corruption or abuse within our ranks." For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Let's move now to Washington, D.C., where House Republicans could vote to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act as soon as today. That would be ironic because it also marks the 7th anniversary of Obamacare being signed into law. Now, the replacement for the Affordable Care Act could cut more than $24 billion from federal payments to California, according to Governor Jerry Brown, who was in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Here's KQED health editor Carrie Feibel.
Protect our care! Protect our care!
Former Vice President Joe Biden said the ACA had given Americans both economic security and peace of mind.
An awful lot of families that I know are able to go to bed now and not stare at the ceiling and think, my God, what happens if my wife develops breast cancer or if I end up with a heart attack? I lose everything.
Governor Brown focused on the estimated 24 million that will lose coverage under the new GOP plan.
We're talking about millions of real people getting hurt, getting diseases that will not be cured, having heart attacks, not being able to go to a hospital or get a doctor. This is a dangerous bill.
Meanwhile, Brown's team warns the GOP plan would also cut federal funds for low-income patients, Planned Parenthood, and hospitals. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Feibel.
For the past 40 or so years, historically black colleges and universities have been struggling to attract top students. Part of the problem has been HBCUs, which are chronically underfunded, have had a hard time luring and retaining new faculty. Meanwhile, Google and other tech firms are struggling to attract black engineers. That's why the HBCU Howard University is opening up a site on Google, a campus dubbed Howard West. Here's Queena Kim, senior editor of KQED's Silicon Valley Desk.
In the fall, Google released its latest employee diversity report. It detailed the gender and ethnicity of everyone Google hired in 2015. And while the number of black employees went up, they still represent only 2% of Google's workforce. At the time, Google said it fell short of its diversity goal. With Howard West, Google believes it can meet that goal faster. Bonita Stewart is the Vice President of Global Partnerships at Google.
We have the opportunity to be able to build a qualified pipeline of talent across the Black community.
The pipeline, or the pipeline problem, is an idea commonly held in Silicon Valley that there just aren't enough Blacks, Latinos, and women with computer programming skills to fill jobs. To build that pipeline, Howard West will bring 25 of its students to Google's headquarters this summer. They'll be mentored by Google engineers and get regular classroom instruction from Howard professors. Howard and Google plan to train 750 students in 5 years and will eventually open the program to students from all historically Black colleges and universities, or HBCUs. Wayne Frederick is the president of Howard University. He says the instruction is important,
but I think just as important would include exposure to the culture here.
Frederick heard from alums working in the industry who said Howard prepared them technically but not culturally to work in Silicon Valley.
So for instance, obviously your listeners can't see me, but I'm dressed in a suit and a tie, and I haven't seen anybody else in a suit and a tie. So that's one example of just being exposed to that culture.
Christian Simamora is with Code 2040. It's a nonprofit that's dedicated to increasing the number of Blacks and Latinos in the tech sector. He applauds the opening of Howard West, but
a caution that I have is that the narrative is framed as a pipeline problem. We would hire more Black engineers if we could find them. The fact of the matter is the talent is there.
Simamora says around 18% of computer science majors in the U.S. identify as Black or Latino, but they represent only 5% of the technology workforce. He says the problem is with recruitment.
Many of the top tech companies are not even recruiting at the HBCUs. Like Howard, Spelman, all of these schools have CS programs.
Why aren't they recruiting there?
I can't speak for companies. But what's fascinating to me is that tech disrupts. Tech hiring does not disrupt. It does not question what has come before it.
Simamora says many tech companies continue to focus their recruitment efforts at a handful of schools, Stanford, Harvard, MIT. And in that way, he says the opening of Howard West at Google is disruptive. It might force the tech industry to start thinking differently. For the California Report, I'm Quina Kim.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering online financial tools to manage and track accounts from investments to retirement planning. Personal Capital, serving over 1 million people at personalcapital.com. Barracuda Networks, cloud-ready firewalls engineered for today's next-generation business networks. Learn more at barracuda.com/cloud-ready. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Yesterday, the National Park Service said they see evidence California red-legged frogs are getting Barry White level close with each other in the beautiful Santa Monica Mountains. These iconic frogs, made famous by Mark Twain's story in 1865, have not been seen in the Santa Monica Mountains since the 1970s. We got picture evidence of their get-together. Find a link to them by going to my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. That's the California Report for Thursday, March 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.